The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to our October 2024 edition of Heard Any Good Books Lately, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. This program is brought to you by the Friends of the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services, an organization of citizens, volunteers, and patrons, all interested in supporting the library and the services it provides. The Friends Group was founded in 1989 and now has more than 300 members across North Carolina. If you'd like to join the Friends Group yourself, we'll have information on how to do that later in the program. This program is all about books available from the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services. The library has more than 86,000 titles in its collection. Books and magazines are available in large print, braille, and talking books as well. The library also has more than 11,000 patrons across the state. And if you are not a patron, but you're interested in becoming one, I'll have more information at the end of this program. Now, this month, we'll look at some of the most popular books checked out in the month of September at the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services. Let's begin the program this month with Flashpoint. It's a brand new book by Catherine Coulter. Agents Savage and Sherlock are back in the latest installment of Catherine Coulter's number one New York Times bestselling FBI thriller series, where the past refuses to stay buried. Here's the plot for Flashpoint. A year has passed since Elizabeth Palmer was nearly killed with hundreds more in the attempted bombing of St. Paul's in London, believed to be a terrorist attack, until the police discovered it was a cover for something even more sinister. For Elizabeth, life is finally back to normal. She's optimistic, her painting is getting accolades, when suddenly her world changes in a flash, with three new attempts on her life and her connection to the terrorist attack, MI5 gets involved to find out who is trying to kill her and why. Autumn Backman, 12 years old, begrudgingly accepts a summer job to shepherd Tash Navarro, a shy, bullied little boy. He's staying with his uncle while his father and stepmother go on a honeymoon in Europe. Then the unexpected happens. Autumn learns Tash is gifted physically like her, and Tash's father, Archer Navarro, is suspected of embezzling from his own firm. The FBI and Interpol are on the case, but Archer and his new wife have disappeared. Tash is scared and convinced his father needs help. So Autumn reaches out to Dylan Savage, the only person she knows who can find them. Desperate for answers, Elizabeth flies to Washington, D.C. to seek out Savage and Sherlock and is assigned Special Agent Rome Fox for protection. With deadly assailants in terrifying pursuit, Elizabeth and Rome soon find themselves neck deep in danger and in a race for survival. Once again, that's called Flashpoint, and it's by Catherine Coulter. Every month we have at least one and sometimes a couple of books by this very popular author, James Patterson. Here's a brief summary of a new one that has just come out within the last few months, and it hit the top of the charts right away. It's called Confessions of the Dead by James Patterson. Don't rent a summer house in Hollows Bend this year. Patterson's scariest thrill since Death of the Black Widow, which you may have read. Hollows Bend, New Hampshire, is a picture-perfect New England town where weekend tourists flock to see fall leaves and eat breakfast at the Stairway Diner. The crime rate, zero, is a point of pride for Sheriff Ellie Pritchett. The day the stranger shows up is when the trouble starts. The sheriff and her deputy investigate the mysterious teenage girl. None of the locals can place her. She can't or won't answer any questions. She won't even tell them her name. While the girl is in protective custody, the officers are called to multiple crime scenes, leading them closer and closer to a lake outside of town that doesn't appear on any map. Once again, it's a new one by very popular author James Patterson, and it's called Confessions of the Dead. Now here's a book called Stuart Wood's Smolder, and it's by Brett Battles. And this latest adrenaline-fueled adventure in the number one New York Times best-selling list, Stone Barrington faces his most vindictive threat yet. Finally enjoying some downtime in Santa Fe, Stone Barrington agrees to attend an art exhibit with a dear friend. There he encounters an intriguing woman who is on the trail of a ring of art thieves. Always one to please, Stone offers his help. Now, from Santa Fe to Los Angeles, it quickly becomes clear that her investigation has links to Stone, particularly to rare Matilda Stone art, his mother's paintings. And when old grudges come to light, Stone is forced to reckon with a familiar enemy. Stone must act fast before whoever is out to get him finally closes in on him for good. And this is Stuart Wood's Smolder, and is written by Brett Battles. Now, here's an author I haven't heard of before recently. We haven't had one on this program by this particular author. It's called Dangerous Games, and it's by Riley Edwards. Here's the plot for Dangerous Games. Reese Turmel has sworn off women. Commitment wasn't something he was willing to consider again after his wife cheated on him while he was on deployment. However, not even a man as jaded as the former SEAL could deny the instant attraction and sizzled to life the first time he walked into Treat's Bakery and saw the beautiful woman behind the counter. And he tried. Sadie Pierce has vowed never to trust another man, not since the last one she let into her life cleaned out all of her bank accounts. Well, now on the verge of losing her bakery, she's more determined than ever to ignore the man who is a walking, talking dream come to life. The problem is, Reese is of a different mind and refuses to give up. With a deadline looming, Reese ups his game and makes Sadie an offer she can't refuse, an offer that comes with consequences neither of them was prepared for. Reese might have to commit. Sadie might have to trust, but together they'll have to fight for their lives. Dangerous Games is the latest romantic suspense thriller from USA Today and Wall Street Journal best-selling author Riley Edwards. New series, new steamy, hot heroes. Welcome to Take Back, which is the title of one of his previous books. So it sounds like a good one and a new author for this program, I think. I don't remember one of his books before, but it's called Dangerous Games, and it's by Riley Edwards. Now an author that certainly needs no introduction. Here's a book by John Grisham. It's called Camino Ghosts. And I'm going to read a review that was done by Stuart Schiffman in May of 2024. So this is one of the newer books by John Grisham. Here's the plot. Most readers associate John Grisham with courtroom novels. Some of his best-known works have involved deep dives into the world of noble attorneys in the American justice system with all its flaws. But Grisham is not content to simply turn out legal-themed stories on a regular basis. His success allows him substantial latitude in the books he writes and the subjects he covers. In 2017's Camino Island, Grisham introduced readers to the eponymous fictional island off the coast of Florida. In the small resort town of Santa Rosa, we met Bruce Cable, the owner of an independent bookstore and a dealer in rare books, and Mercer Mann, an author struggling to complete a second novel following the success of her debut. 3 years later, Grisham gave us a follow-up, Camino Winds, and now we can celebrate his third Camino release. Camino Ghosts begins on the beach at Camino Island, where Mercer and Thomas celebrate their wedding with close friends. Mercer, who is an important character in the series, is also a creative writing teacher at the University of Mississippi. Now, in addition to allowing Grisham to promote his alma mater, Mercer's work as a novelist affords him the opportunity to enlighten readers on how the publishing industry operates. Mercer is planning to write and publish a book based on the lives of a group of black Africans transported to America as slaves. Their travel to the South is interrupted by storms, and they end up on a small barrier island off the Florida coast, known as Dark Isle. Now, there they lived secretly for centuries as free individuals until new storms eventually make it uninhabitable. Bruce hopes that Mercer can turn these events into a book. For the story to be told, Mercer must work with Lovely Jackson, an 80-year-old black woman who is the last surviving heir of Dark Isle. It will not be an easy task. The history of Dark Isle is mysterious. No one has populated it for centuries, and legends abound as to why that is. Many are convinced that the area is cursed and that belief is encouraged when a land developer emerges with plans to build residences, a golf course, and a casino on the island. But the situation becomes a little dicey when those sent to begin the development meet with death. To add to the mystery, there is one more Grisham ingredient for a great story, a lawsuit over who actually owns Dark Isle. It's a typical Grisham novel. The bad guys have big plans while the good guys hope to stop them. Along the way, Grisham shows his talent for poking fun at the foibles of publishing, as well as the legal system. It's a gentle poking, since both of these enterprises have provided him with a permanent and deserved position on bestseller lists. Camino Ghosts is a joyful adventure. The characters are well known to Grisham fans, and the story will keep you turning the pages until the conclusion. It's a great summer read from a gifted writer, also a good upcoming Christmas gift, I would think, as well. This was reviewed by Stuart Schiffman in May of this year, and once again, it's called Camino Ghosts by John Grisham. And you're listening to Heard Any Good Books Lately, an exclusive production of the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. Thanks so much for joining me today. Let's turn to another new book. This one is by Linda Castillo. It's called The Burning. Chief of Police Kate Burkholder investigates a gruesome murder that reveals a little-known chapter of early Amish history in this next riveting installment of the best-selling series by Linda Castillo. Newlywed Chief of Police Kate Burkholder is awakened by an urgent midnight call summoning her to a suspicious fire in the woods. When she arrives at the scene, she discovers a charred body. According to the coroner, the deceased, an Amish man named Milan Swans, was chained to a stake and burned alive. It is an appalling and eerily symbolic crime against an upstanding husband and father. Well, Kate knows all too well that the Amish prefer to handle their problems without interference from the outside world, and no one will speak about the murdered man. From what she's able to piece together, Swans led a deeply troubled life and had recently been excommunicated. But if that's the case, why are the Amish so reluctant to talk about him? Are they protecting the memory of one of their own? Or are they afraid of something they dare not share? Well, when her own brother is implicated in the case, Kate finds herself not only at odds with the Amish, the world of which she was once a part, but also the English community and her counterparts in law enforcement. The investigation takes a violent turn when Kate's life is threatened by a mysterious stranger. To uncover the truth about the death of Milan Swans, Kate must dive deep into the Anabaptist culture, peering into all the dark corners of its history, only to uncover a secret legacy that shatters everything she thought she knew about the Amish themselves and her own roots. And once again, that is called The Burning, that book, and it is by Linda Castillo. Now, a book by Rayanne Thane. This one is called The Cafe at Beach End. And this is a compelling tale of family and community, and it will please Thane's legions of fans, as well as readers of Susan Mallory and Robin Carr. And that's according to Booklist in reporting about The Cafe at Beach End. Here's the plot for this one. When Meredith Collins was a child, the little beach town of Cape Sanctuary lived up to its name. Spending summers there with her grandmother, Meredith finally felt safe and loved. Now she's returning in disgrace. Her late ex-husband swindled investors out of millions of dollars and made Meredith a figure of scorn, though she knew nothing about his scheme. But she still has the beach cottage she inherited from her grandmother and half ownership of the local cafe. It's a place to work and earn a little money. That's if her cousin Tori will let her through the door. Once, Tori and Meredith were as close as sisters until Meredith chose her neglectful parents' expectations over their bond. Now widowed with a teenage daughter, Tori isn't setting out a welcome mat for the woman who let her down so badly. While Meredith tries to make a fresh start, she is drawn to a mysterious writer renting the cottage next door. Liam Burns' kindness is a balm, though she worries he might not be so friendly if he knew who she was. But Liam has his own secret and a mission that will help Meredith confront her past and maybe, maybe claim a surprising future. And there's a footnote here in this particular article which says, don't miss the enchanting holiday tale, The December Market by Rayanne Thane. And it's a story of second chances, family, and unexpected love. And that is set in the charming town of Shelter Springs, where the spirit of Christmas brings two reluctant hearts together. So we may be seeing that one on the bestseller list as we get closer to the Christmas and holiday season. That book is called The December Market. But the one we just finished talking about is a new one by Rayanne Thane, and it's called The Cafe at Beach End. Now let's turn to another book by James Patterson. This one is called Eruption, and this is from a review by Ray Palin that was done just a few months ago, June of 2024. What happens when you team up two legendary writers? You get what could be one of the best and most incendiary novels of 2024, says the reviewer, Ray Palin. One day, Michael Crichton's widow, Sherry, was going through his folder of stories and found an unfinished manuscript titled The Black Zone. Now, along with that was extensive research on volcanoes, specifically volcanic eruptions. She sat on this information for years, hoping to find the ideal author to take over this project. Then she was introduced to James Patterson, who eagerly agreed to dive in and pick up where her late husband left off. The result is the wonderfully thrilling Eruption, which just cries out for cinematic treatment from page one. The action opens in 2016 in Hilo, Hawaii. Rachel Sherrill is taking her class on a tour of the Hilo Botanical Gardens when she notices a group of sick trees. Now, before she can speak to someone there about it, an announcement is made requesting that everyone evacuate the premises due to strong suspicion of a possible eruption from the surrounding mammoth volcanoes, Mauna Loa and Mauna Kea. We then jump ahead to April 24, 2025. Now, no one is aware yet that they are just 116 hours away from the massive eruption that could wipe out all of Hilo and then some. John Mac McGregor of the Hawaiian Volcano Observatory is monitoring the situation closely and deciding how soon to warn the locals by updating the volcano alert level. A helicopter is getting way too close to the volcanic flow and going down. Now, this is just the start of the nonstop action that is Eruption, complete with a chapter-by-chapter countdown towards the big blast. Now, once Mac saves the day, he begins discussing with his team what they can do to avoid the tragedy that occurred during the last big eruption in 1984. Creating man-made vents in the mountains is proposed, but that is easier said than done and has never been tried. Before Mac can put any large-scale plan into motion, he is interrupted by the appearance of Colonel James Briggs from the local military base. Briggs shares top-secret information about a venture known as Project Hades, or Agent Black. It involves the creation of a military chemical weapon far more powerful than Agent Orange. The worst part is that tons of cylinders containing Agent Black have been stored for years in one of the nearby mountains as sort of a giant chemical waste receptacle. If the military, with some local assistance, is unable to remove all of these cylinders before the volcanoes erupt, the product that will be released into the atmosphere will be strong enough to wipe out every living thing on Earth. Now, this will make readers think back to Rachel's discovery of blackened plant life in 2016 that reveals just some of the deadly potential of Agent Black. Mac and his team are now in a literal race against time, not only to get the surrounding residents prepared to evacuate, but to assist the military in removing all of the Agent Black materials while building huge barriers and reinforcements to quell the lava flow. Now, along with the constantly depleting time clock we see at the top of each chapter, Crichton and Patterson have created a situation that will not allow readers to catch their breath as the pages turn by themselves. It's a traumatic race to the finish where not everyone will survive, and the fate of the entire globe is at risk. In other words, failure is not an option. Eruption is so much more than just a great summer read. It combines the impeccable research and scientific knowledge that Crichton consistently infused into everything he wrote with the breakneck suspense of a James Patterson novel. In true Patterson style, the chapters are short and have the impact of jabs from a prize fighter who is setting you up for the knockout punch. When it arrives, hold on to your seats, because Eruption is a wild ride that takes no prisoners. And this, once again, is a book called Eruption. It was reviewed by Ray Palin in June of this year. It's by James Patterson, influenced by Michael Crichton, also a very, very popular author. Now let's turn to a book by Freda McFadden. We actually had a couple of books by her that have been popular in the last month or so. This is one of the newer ones. It's called Do Not Disturb by Freda McFadden. Here's the plot. Quinn Alexander has committed an unthinkable crime. To avoid spending her life in prison, Quinn makes a run for it. She leaves behind her home, her job, and her family. She grabs her passport and heads for the northern border before the police can discover what she has done. But when an unexpected snowstorm forces her off the road, Quinn must take refuge at the broken-down, isolated Baxter Motel. Now, the handsome and kindly owner, Nick Baxter, is only too happy to offer her a cheap room for the night. Unfortunately, the Baxter Motel isn't the quiet, safe haven it seemed to be. The motel has a dark and a very disturbing past. And in the dilapidated house across the way, the silhouette of Nick's ailing wife is always at the window and always watching. In the morning, Quinn must leave the motel. She'll pack up her belongings and get back on the road to freedom. But first, she must survive the night. And that's Do Not Disturb by Freda McFadden. And there's one other book. We don't really have time to read the whole one, but it was very popular this month, called Do You Remember by Freda McFadden. And just a little bit, Tess Strebel can't recognize her own face. And that's because she can't recognize her home. Her bedroom is unfamiliar. And she can't remember the handsome stranger lying next to her in a bed who claims to be her husband. Now, Tess reads a letter in her own handwriting, composed during a rare lucid day, explaining her life as it now exists. And this is a pretty fascinating story that I think you will enjoy. The bottom line is, don't trust the man who calls himself your husband. I think you'll like that one, so you may check it out. It's called Do You Remember, and it's also by Freda McFadden. And that's all the time we have for this month's edition of Heard Any Good Books Lately. I'm George Douglas. I hope you enjoyed the program today. If you'd like more information about how to become a patron of the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services, simply Google or search for Accessible Books, North Carolina Library, or you can call toll-free 888-388-2460. You can also use those same numbers and website to join the Friends of the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services. And it is that wonderful organization that sponsors this monthly feature on books. Now, this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Heard Any Good Books Lately will be available right after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time.